Despite the evolution of pro leagues for women into the PWHL, hockey is still a very white male world. Even in women's hockey associations, there are a lot of men. In Clarington, the Clarington Girls Hockey Association is now led by a woman, Julie Van Hartensveld. Today, we are going to discuss how women's hockey has changed, how it continues to evolve, and how it needs to evolve. Welcome to Exit 425. My name is Steve Ray. Julie Van Hartensveld joins us to talk about the state of women's hockey in Clarington. Julie, I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Hi, Steve. Thanks so much for having me on. My absolute pleasure.
What's brought you to this point of being the president of the CGHA?
You know, great question, and it's been quite a journey so far, but the quick summary of the evolution for me is growing up, I was very passionate about sports, involved. I was a gymnast first and foremost, but was active in many sports. And I had known that I'd wanted to work in sports my whole life. Went to school for public relations, thought that I would end up as a public relations person for a major sports team. Although that wasn't exactly in the cards, I did spend almost 8 years at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, which I really do consider the framework to my love of sports and best practice in sport and really thinking big picture and strategically. Although I spent tons of time, I worked, I was part of the launch of Toronto FC, worked on the Vanier Cup. Again, just involved and passionate about sport my entire life. My path has led me to a different professional capacity. You know, spending time in sport is lots of fun, but you know, as a mom and a professional, it's not the most ideal industry. So now here I am working in Durham Region, living in Clarington. And as I just round up, I'm near completion of a master's degree where my focus has been on strategy and change management. Truth be told, I've used the Flames as a case study more than once in my studies, and it's really positioned me to lead this organization, thinking about things a little bit differently and thinking about the big picture and long-term plan.
Tell us just about some of the demographics of the CGHA as it stands right now.
So we're incredibly proud of the Clarington Girls Hockey Association. So we are the largest hockey association in Clarington, both, I'll say male, but what I will say is our counterparts within the other organizations, they do and are open to females playing, and they do have a number of incredibly talented female athletes within their organization. But for the purpose of this podcast, we'll talk about girls and boys, and that's who we mean. But so we're the largest association, and that considers all of the other associations in Clarington. We have everything from fundamentals, which is our under seven, our house league programming, as well as our competitive and rep program. So we're just in and around 700 players. Again, incredibly proud. We've seen tremendous growth, which is indicative of the growth in hockey, not only the province, but the country. We're very fortunate on the Flames. So you talked about being led by a female. So our organization is led by me, a female, but we also have our VP of competitive, a rep. She works in growth and development for females for Hockey Canada, as well as a number of other really incredible, both males and females, but we do have a high number of females within our board leading our organization.
You talked about the other organizations. One of them is the Clarington Minor Hockey Association. That's evolving into also including the North Shore Wave, if I'm correct. But for now, how well do the CGHA and the CMHA get along, and perhaps the CRHL as well?
No, that's also a good question. I became the president about two and a half years ago, and one of my goals was to bridge those gaps. Historically, I wouldn't say that they didn't get along, but there was not a lot of collaboration and discussion. So I am proud to say I work alongside Cheryl Littlejohn as the president of the zone. Don Mathers is the president of the CMHA. We have a good working relationship, definitely built in the last couple of years more strongly than ever before. And we recognize that we're doing a lot of the same thing. And if we could work together to simplify some of the work that we're doing to achieve the same goals, that we should do that. One of those was around some discussions around the building the additional arena or pads in Clarington, and that really brought us together as a group.
You know, one thing that as a coach of the U18AAs and working with those young women, we noticed that we haven't played on Pad A in record, which is arguably the showcase arena for Clarington at this point. Is there any kind of reason why the girls rarely ever play on that showcase rink?
So that also is something that, of course, we would love more time on that pad. But I would say our challenges lie even beyond that pad. So to play ideally in the showcase pad or Rickard A, the newly named Toyota pad, I would say, and I actually do have some breakdown on that. So in our total ice allocations that we have in our permits with the town, we have about 40% of our ice is on Rickard Pad B, which we consider to be our, for lack of a better description, home ice. Our logo is there, banners are there, all of those things. We have a newly created office or a multi-purpose space for teams to use also on Rickard Pad B. So I don't hate the idea that we're on Rickard Pad B at 40% of the time. What we're really looking for is more ideal ice time. So one of the challenges that we face, not that you went there just yet, but if you don't mind, I'll take the opportunity. One of the challenges we face is ice allocation during premium times. And even by premium, I just mean between 4 and even 8:30 p.m. And the challenge being that our U15 teams, whether they be house league or rep and up, U18, U22, are really practicing incredibly late. Many of them are on the ice upwards of 11 o'clock. I think your team itself spends a lot of time on the ice after 11. And this is particularly hard for our girls and our athletes. Ones might say, are U18s? That's okay. They're older. Well, they're in high school. They've got exams. Getting home consistently after 11. I imagine some of the players from your team are traveling quite a distance to play at U18AA. You know, they're getting home after midnight, closer to 1 a.m. to just do it all over again, possibly the next day. And then the challenge on the flip side is that our U15s, who are still absorbing that same late time, some of them are only in grade 8. So they're very young. Some are 12, just turning 13. Really, really young to be on the ice until 11. And as we know, with no borders in girls hockey, some of these players are traveling from quite far. And then the challenge being, you know, one might argue we'll put them on earlier. Well, then we have our fundamentals, we have our U9 and U11s that really can't be on the ice until 9 or even 10 o'clock at night. So we really struggle with ice times to allocate within our association. So I do have a little bit of some numbers. So we use a total of 2,040 hours of ice. Of that, 86% is allocated within the municipality of Clarington, 38% is on Pad B, and 3.5% is on Pad A Rickard. So really you're seeing a big disparity in the two different arenas or pads at Rickard. But I'd say if I had a choice to advocate for more ice time during more ideal times or more time on Pad A, I would choose more ideal times because we are really struggling. We have wait lists, significant wait lists in House League. We've interlocked with Oshawa and House League to help free up some of that time. And we purchase a good significant amount of time in Oshawa and beyond private ice just to fulfill what we consider the bare minimum of ice that were available. We're looking at cutting, unfortunately, one of our rep teams next year because what we're seeing is every single one of our teams is struggling for ice time. And if you were to ask me what is the one issue that I face the most as a president, it would be without a doubt the lack of ice and trying to navigate how we sustain a level of competition, but also just development within all of our programming with Lack of Ice.
Wow. that's an informative answer. And yeah, if, you know, better ice times would trump, a significantly bigger chunk on the so-called feature rink. But there is some element of fun in terms of that environment of being on that rink and being in what's considered a special place. In some areas, there's one minor hockey organization with a boys division and one for the girls. Has that ever been talked about in Clarington? I know in Uxbridge, they seem to have one organization with a boys division alongside the girls, which is named differently. And then so often boys groups are referred to as minor with no emphasis on gender. And do you think it's necessary to specify girls in the name of a female hockey or sports organization?
So my answer really is, I have a number of responses to this. So I think as we think bigger about what the future of hockey looks like, not only in Clarington, because of course a decision like this would likely be one that we would see at more of a provincial level and beyond. And it definitely, as we think big, it's probably potentially the way that things could move when we think about efficiencies and growth. But what I would say in the short term, or even mid to short term, there are some challenges within that, being that the quote unquote girls associations fall under the OWHA, so the Ontario Women's Hockey Association, as our governing body. And I don't want to say boys association, the boys association or the minor associations fall under the OMHA, so the Ontario Minor Hockey Association. So two governing bodies, although all of which fall under Hockey Canada, there are two governing bodies which add some complexity to that decision. On one side, I think it's really important, and it's something that we go back and forth with and we discuss very frequently around our board table and even within the other associations or the women's associations in Ontario, is should we be having the term girls or women in the name? And on one hand, I'm really proud and I think females should be celebrated and the strides that we've overcome. And for that reason, I think it's important to have it in there. But on the other hand, I think it's really important that we strive to create an inclusive and equitable hockey community. So what is the answer? I don't actually know what the right answer is. But I think these are the things that we should be thinking about and discussing at a provincial level as to what does make the most sense for these organizations. At the same time, celebrating, I think, the achievements of women in sport and the growth over the years.
So the Girls Hockey Association would suggest that it's just for girls as opposed to minor, which would be anyone who makes the team.
Absolutely. And I would say this is a very hot topic in women's hockey or minor, so our associations within the OWHA, as to what does our inclusive policy look like. So at this point, our position within the CGHA, and we're one of the first and only perhaps associations to have an inclusivity policy that looks at the importance of being a welcoming environment to all. And if you identify as female, then you are most certainly welcome within this the CGHA.
I mentioned the presence of males in the female hockey world. Do you see the differences between the impact a male coach has versus a female coach?
I would say that's a tricky question. I think we have some really incredible male coaches. Definitely there's a big gap in the number of male coaches versus the number of female coaches, even within our female organization. That's something that, although in recent years we're seeing some growth, which is great, and I hope it continues on that upward trend. I recognize that they both make a significant difference and are incredibly important, but there are differences on the impact that they have. And I'd say, first and foremost, female coaches serve as relatable role models to female athletes and inspiring them to see beyond the immediate athletic pursuit. Like, what does the future hold? Especially knowing, you know, there are some of those gaps in what does professional, again, big strides this year, incredible strides in professional women's hockey. But, you know, there was a time where what did the future hold? So to see female coaches as someone to look up to and admire and aspire to be, I think is incredibly, incredibly important. I also think there's no doubt that the path for female hockey players looks a little bit different than those of their male counterparts. So to have a female coach who has taken that path and understands firsthand both the trials and the triumphs of that path, I think is really impactful and makes a difference. And I think it also, it's really important that female coaches contribute to the increased representation of diversity within the coaching profession and promote ultimately gender equity in sport. So I think that's really important. However, I'd say more than anything, the most important factor is that the coach's ability to really connect with their players, regardless of the coach's gender, and support their athletes.
And coaches are critical to the program. What are the qualifications that you look for in potential coaches, and perhaps some of those non-hockey qualities that you look for?
Yes, this is always a hot question too. Again, we're very fortunate. We have a lot of really incredible coaches, and we most certainly value hockey specific qualities, the ones that, you know, most everyone would consider qualifications. The other things that we look for, of course, is, you know, a strong understanding of the game, including technical skills, strategies, and game management. In the last few years, we've added a technical component to coach interviews. So where someone has to really explain something at an age appropriate level, typically the age that they're applying for, how they would teach a particular player, a particular strategy to their players at that age group, which interestingly does bring a different perspective. We also recognize that there are a lot of non-hockey qualities that make an incredible coach. So of course, a commitment to development on and off the ice, the ability to communicate, the ability to lead, are all really, really, really important. Of course, a positive attitude. We know that one of the biggest difference in female athletes and male athletes is their desire to have a, again, there's this really great book. I suggest anyone, I can't remember the title at the moment, but it's about coaching female athletes. And the number one piece that stuck out to me about that is that typically, a male athlete will perform for the coach they have, regardless of whether or not there's a connection or they respect them. Although I would argue that would be enhanced regardless of the gender of the athlete. But in particular for girls, they really need to have a connection, know that their coach cares about them off the ice, in order to be able to perform at their highest capability. So that's something that I think is really, really important. It's a difficult position. This year in particular, we had the highest number of applicants we've ever had. A lot of really incredibly talented coaches come forward, both male, both female, parent, non-parent. And we are most definitely always between a rock and a hard place in selecting the best suited for the role.
In my experience in hiring teachers, it always seems like you get a bunch of the best all for one role, and it's like you can't have the best of every world all the time.
Absolutely. And we find that too, to be honest.
What are some of the challenges women's hockey faces provincially or nationwide or in Clarington? And I know one of the challenges that a lot of organizations are dealing with, you talked about the open borders, the fact that there's often migration away from an organization that doesn't have a junior or elite 22 program, which was the original PWHL program. And, you know, further to that, would there be any interest in developing a really junior light program for the U18AAs, which for other people might be known as midgets in the past? Which is one of the levels that actually competes for a national championship. So if you could talk about that, that'd be terrific.
Sure. So first of all, I'd say the challenges again are starting to be addressed, of course, seeing that pipeline to what the future looks like. So that is incredible. But I'd say something that we see across in minor hockey, but also as you move into professional hockey, is the disparity in resources and opportunities. I'd say, so it was a perfect segue. Something on a more local level that we face is the retention of elite players due to movement for a junior, as you talked about, an elite program. So that is something that we have for the last few years really looked at. How do we would love to have a junior team. There's no doubt. It's not a secret. The OWHA knows we would love to have a junior team. I have a proposal written. There's some things that need to happen in Clarington for us to have a junior team. And I'm really proud that we've put into action some of those plays, those things like financial stability. So over the last 3 years, we are now in a very financially stable and fiscally sound position, which we were not a number of years ago. The development of a high performance program. So we are still, you know, we're year two of a defined high performance program, which, as you know, includes off ice, on ice training, as well as other very significant components. But we introduced new this year for all of our rep players, mental toughness training. So looking at the bigger picture that I think will position us in a favorable light to be considered for a junior team at some point in the future. One of the things that we've been really advocating for with the municipality of Clarington is a dressing room dedicated to our high performance teams in the short term, which when I say high performance, you know, that's U13 AA, U15 AA, U18 AA, and allowing them to have access to a dedicated dressing room, something that's really important. As a short-term plan, knowing that we didn't have access to an immediate dressing room, for those of you who have seen Rickard Pad B, there was a pretty stuffed office with not a lot of usage or available space, but we've worked really hard over the past couple of years to clean that up, have it renovated. It looks really great. It's a space we're very, very proud of. Although it's not a dressing room, it's a space that teams can use and book. And, you know, we've intentionally put folding tables and chairs so that it could be used as like a light, like pregame warm-up space, or perhaps some dry land that expands into the upper hallway. But more importantly, for teams to use for team building, film, a lot of the mental toughness training took place in that space this year. So again, a small feat, a small win in the direction that we'd like to go, which would be achieving a junior space. When you our junior team, when you look at the map, Clarington's in the perfect position to definitely have a junior team, but we do know there is some work to be done to get there, but we are on the path to that, is the hope.
That's awesome news, and that's very interesting news to me personally. That's so very exciting. Describe some real highlights so far in your tenure as president, and what do you see coming in the near future? You've already outlined a few things.
So my highlights as a president, I would say definitely the things that probably most people don't see in the day-to-day, but that financial stability, some strategic planning, again, looking beyond. I'll be honest, we're all volunteers as board members. You get a mixed, eclectic group of skill set and people and roles. But I do say over the past couple of years, I'm proud to say we have a board that, again, the day-to-day membership may not see it, but is thinking long-term. What are the goals? How do we get there? I think we're, again, a fiscally sound organization. We have strong governance. We are building a good reputation with the OWHA. Again, something that has been incredibly important, building good relationships with the municipality. Despite our ice challenges, that was one of the items we set out to do, and I feel that we've been successful in that. I would say the development room is something, me personally, I'm proud of. That was something that was really important. My own blood, sweat, and tears went into that. You could see me scrubbing the floor on my hands and knees many times. Generally, I'm really proud of the direction we're going, and know that the future is bright for women's hockey. But in particular, I do think there's a lot of growth and opportunity in Clarington.
And challenges?
Challenges, without a doubt, knowing that ice is without a doubt one of our biggest challenges, and knowing that my counterparts within the other minor hockey associations would very likely say the same thing, that is what I would say the biggest piece. There's no doubt that one of the other challenges we see is the movement within girls hockey and players moving out, coming back, and we know why they leave. Some of which we can address, some of it we can't, but when players are leaving at the pursuit of a junior team, although I'm pretty proud to say our U18, and that's large in part thanks to the coaching staff and, you know, Shannon Todd, yourself and the others, Megan, who is taking over that team, incredibly proud of the work that they've done. And I think they've had more players transition to junior than associations within their AA U18 teams transition into their junior program. So again, that's probably news that most people don't realize, but again, very, very proud of that group and what they've done for our athletes.
It's a very gratifying thing to see and to have experience with players that you've worked with, to see them move on to a level that they've aspired to. And, you know, just as a note about our head coach, Shannon Todd, I assured parents, I said, the best bet you've got for moving on is to have Shannon there, because he will call coaches and he will do that work. The idea of having a national program or a junior team definitely helps with the retention and draw into a community organization. We just watched the Frozen Four championship on the weekend. We had to pay for it, which that's another issue, but because we probably won't have to pay for the men's Frozen Four. To see the success of the organizations like Ohio and Wisconsin in the NCAA, it makes it pretty easy to recruit players to those organizations. And so, as you pointed out, having the resources and different aspects of the program that are successful in Clarington will draw people here. We are in a great position for, you know, catching a lot of young women east of the GTA who are further east than would be comfortable driving into Toronto. So, we're well positioned in many ways. So thank you for that. I appreciate you, your candor in terms of sharing the highlights and the challenges. Thank you, Julie Van Hardingsveld, for meeting me here at Exit 425. How can people learn more about the Clarington Girls Hockey Association and perhaps reach out to you?
Sure. So you can follow us on social media at Clarington Flames. And of course, I'm open to people reaching out. My email is president@claringtonflames.ca. But be sure to connect with us on social media and or reach out anytime.
Thank you for joining me. And thank you for you who are listening or watching this episode of Exit 425. Please like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and on YouTube. Our mission is to provide substantial information and education that goes where you want, because it's where we live. Exit 425 is a production of Studio 38 Audio, copyright 2024. My name is Steve Ray. If you have questions or would like more information about Exit 425, join our Exit 425 Facebook group, like the Facebook page, check out Instagram, Medium, LinkedIn, X, and TikTok, or email me at exit425401@gmail.com. Exit 425. It's where we live.